Early on the first day of the week, whilst it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one that Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the stripes of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
Steve, it's great to see everyone. And perhaps already had some eggs this morning. Yeah, it's a bit of chocolate, just. Or is that broccoli? Anyway, very good to see everyone. Now, there's a question, and we've been thinking about it already. Have you ever said, "I wasn't expecting that"? I wasn't expecting that. I remember very clearly the day we went to our local hospital 17 years ago to have a second scan for Katie's pregnancy. We were having the scan early because we were moving house. And we went, and the doctor looked at us and said, "You do know it's twins, don't you?" I wasn't expecting that. It was amazing. I perhaps look like the chap who will appear on the screen. Yes, I was a little bit less handsome than that. I wasn't expecting that. And Katie certainly felt the same thing. Gulp, wow. And on that first Easter Sunday, it was definitely, "I wasn't expecting that" moment, wasn't it? I wasn't expecting that, as we saw in our Bible reading. So let's look at the Bible and see what it says. I'm going to need a couple of young helpers who can help me. Freya, brilliant. Ben, thank you very much. Great, you got your running shoes on. Good, good, good. We need those. That's good. We want no shoes. That's fantastic. Anyone else? One more. Patrick, did I see Patrick? Oh, yeah, go on. Yep, brilliant. Right. Now, you're Mary, and you are Peter. So come over here. And you're John, right?
I'm Ben.
No, John. John. For the purposes of dramatic retelling of the story, you're John, okay? Disciple. Exactly, exactly. So, why don't you sit on the chairs? I've got some nice chairs for you. You can relax. Look thoughtful. Yes. So when Mary woke up on Easter Sunday, she was really sad. No, sad. You don't want to be sad. That's okay. We'll just imagine it. She was really, really sad, and everything she had hoped for had come to an end. Why had it come to an end? What had happened a couple of days before? Thank you. Jesus had died on a cross. And so she was very sad. She'd been following Jesus for all that time. And then, as she watched her master and dear friend Jesus die on a cross, the soldiers made sure of it in front of her. They put a spear in his side just to make sure he was dead. And then he was taken down from the cross and taken to a burial garden. and placed in a tomb belonging to a man called Joseph. And then a huge stone was rolled over the entrance of the tomb, because that's what they did. But now it's 3 days later, and very early in the morning, Mary just had to go to the tomb. Come on, Mary, why don't you walk to the tomb with me? Yeah, come on. We're walking to the tomb. I'm not really here. I'm just showing you where to go. And you're really sad, but you want to be alone. You want to be near the body of Jesus. You want to try and find comfort. And you're just full of sadness and full of tears. And you want to get to that tomb. Well done, Freya. And when she gets there, Freya, here it is. When she gets to the tomb, she gets the shock of her life. The massive heavy stone that was over the entrance has gone. It's been rolled away. She wasn't expecting that. That's impossible. So what are you going to do? So she runs to go and tell Peter and John. Can you do that? Can you run back the way we came? Run. She runs. It does say that in the Bible. Check out the Bible. She ran to Peter and John, and she goes to tell them the news. And you can hear the desperation in her words as she tells them, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. That's verse 2. And the only way she can explain it is that someone, maybe those in charge, or maybe the soldiers or some robbers, have taken the body of Jesus away. And this is the only conclusion she can draw, that someone's taken the body. And of course, you and I might have thought the very same thing, mightn't we? Because there doesn't seem to be any great expectations here. You see, what else could it be? Dead people don't come back to life. So the body surely has been taken away. And clearly, Peter and John are also not expecting that. So you scratch your heads. Excellent. Oh, have you got knits? No. So you're scratching your heads. You're not expecting this either. So what are you going to do? Because they might have been down at the garden tomb and waiting if they thought Jesus might rise again. But once they've heard Mary's story, they're really eager to go and check out what has happened. How do we know they're eager, folks? What does it say in the Bible? Verse 4. What do they do? They run. So can you run? Run to the tomb. And they left Mary behind. Well done, John. And John, you got there first. You won the race. Well done. Step back a bit. You won the race. And so you go to the tomb. And you have a look in. Don't go in. Don't go in. Look round the corner. What can you see? You can see some linen cloth. But you're not going to go in. You're not going to go in. But not far behind, John. No, stay there. Stay there. It's okay. Stay there. You're just looking around. And then Peter arrives, but you're really eager. You go straight past John and into the tomb. And what do you see? You see the linen strips lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. Right, you can come out now. And listen to this. It says in the Bible, the cloth was folded up by itself. The one that was around his head was separated and folded by itself. You see, a couple of days before that, Joseph and Nicodemus, some people from the council, the ruling council, had wrapped Jesus' body really well. They would have done an excellent job. And there's the linen in there. When Jesus raised his friend Lazarus from the dead, he came out of the tomb and all his bandages were still on him. And they had to help get him out of them. But these have been left really neatly in folded up. As if Jesus' body had simply passed through the linen. So, John went to have a look as well. Off you go, John. Have a quick look. You see, John and Peter, they weren't expecting that. They weren't expecting that. Mary was right. The tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. You are right, Mary. No, you can stop now. And the linen that was wrapped around Jesus' body is still there. They couldn't believe it. His body couldn't have been stolen or moved by the authorities because they would have kept the linen. They would have kept Jesus' body wrapped in the cloth. Did you understand that? They wouldn't have removed the cloth, would they? They would have kept the expensive linen. And so for John, only one conclusion could be reached. John, where are you? Do you want to stand up? Only one conclusion could be reached. Can we see that in verse 8? What's John's reaction? As soon as he saw the empty tomb and the linen cloth lying there, he believed. He believed. He believed that Jesus had been raised from the dead. Just like everyone else, whether it's Joseph and Nicodemus who took the body down and put it in the tomb, or Pilate and the soldiers who'd made sure Jesus was dead, or the Jewish authorities, or all the other disciples, John did not expect that. You and everyone else. He didn't expect his master and friend Jesus to rise from the dead. But standing in the empty tomb with the linen, he believed. Jesus is risen. Isn't that wonderful? You can go and sit down now. Go and sit down. Jesus is risen. You can smile and smile. You can go and sit in your normal chairs. These are the... And if Jesus has risen from the dead, that changes everything forever. Everything Jesus had said and done was true. Everything he said about the forgiveness of sins, everything he said about his death, paying the punishment that our sins deserve, it's all true. It's come true. Jesus has risen. That is God's verdict on his son's sacrificial death for us, to raise him from the dead. Yes, the sacrifice is a right and good one. And death no longer has its hold on us. Jesus is alive. Now, lots of us here truly believe that, don't we? That Jesus did not stay dead, that he rose again on that first Easter day and he's alive today. We believe it and we rejoice. And even when we're having a hard day, even this morning, we are joyous because our future is secure. Whatever's happening today, our future is secure. But it might be there's some of us here who are not sure. I don't know what you believe, but there's no better news than this. Wouldn't you say, if it were true? Next week, we're going to read how Jesus then encountered Mary, and her tears stop. Her sorrow turns to joy because she's met the risen Jesus, and that's true. When we meet Jesus, until we meet Jesus, there will be sorrow. There will be death, because it hangs over us. But once we understand Jesus is God's Son, he came to the cross for our sins, and he rose again, it changes everything forever. Because all who trust in Jesus, who take his hand, sin is dealt with forever. Death is conquered forever. A relationship with the Lord God who made us is now a reality forever. All because of Jesus. He is heaven's champion. So no more tears, Mary. No more tears. Well, perhaps when it comes to the resurrection, you weren't expecting that. Perhaps you're not yet convinced. But the evidence is overwhelming. You need to look into it, really. We have these compelling eyewitness accounts. We have non-Christian historians at the time speaking of these things. And for that fact, today, you and I have more evidence than John did standing in the empty tomb. If we wanted to, please check it out. I've put a few copies of this, the love story. This goes through some of the evidence. Do take a copy. If you can't find one at the back, because they've all been snaffled, have a word with me and I'll get one to you. Or please take a John's Gospel. We've got lots of those. Read the evidence, the eyewitness accounts. But do check it out. That's what the disciples did. They ran to the empty tomb. They ran. What do? They ran to find out. So let's do that. The news is our only hope. The news of the resurrection is our only hope. And it's worth running for. So happy, happy Easter. Let me say a prayer. Our loving Father, we thank you for the hope of the empty tomb. Thank you that Jesus is risen. That whatever's going on today, that you have secured our future when we trust in you. That we can have peace, peace with you forever. The Lord, daily we pray that you would convince us and convict us that Jesus is risen. Lord, we thank you that you have made us your Easter people. And by your Spirit, we pray more and more as those Easter people that running the race marked out for us, we will walk with you and talk with you until we run into your arms on that final day. Help us all to understand this Easter joy. In Jesus' name, amen.